Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, June 10th, 2021, and the weather is spectacular here in Florissant, more like summer, getting into the 90s. And so I love oppressive heat. That may sound a little strange to you, but that's the way I enjoy my summer. For the past 2 weekends and for the past 2 weeks, we have been exploring in depth Revelation chapter 20, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And we have learned so much about this unique period in history that will be in the future, when Christ returns to defeat the armies at Armageddon, to build the millennial temple, to gather his people from Petra, to reign with us on the earth in resurrected, glorified bodies for 1,000 years. Well, I've been talking about that unique governmental time when Christ will bring in true world peace for 1,000 years. And what we have learned is that at the end of the 1,000 years, there will be a rebellion. Satan will once again rear his ugly head as God releases him from the bottomless pit, and he will lead a rebellion. And we examined what would happen, that it would be short-lived, and that rebellion would not last very long. Fire comes down out of heaven and consumes them, and Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. One of the things we discussed in this teaching series on the millennium was about those who survived the tribulation. That is, those that were protected, the Jewish people in Petra for 3.5 years, and then those who just survived, the Gentile groups. What happens to them? Well, the people who survived the tribulation will still be in their mortal bodies. And one of the interesting things we have learned about this time period is they and all children born during the millennial reign of Christ will have the responsibility to accept Christ or reject him. Now, if they reject Christ, those that are still in their mortal bodies, they will be sent to Hades at death. Hades, as we are discovering, is a literal holding place, but is not the final estate. It is not hell. Now, these that reject Christ will go to Hades and will wait in confinement in this holding place until the great white throne judgment. Now, those that accept Christ in their mortal bodies, those that survive the tribulation period, will eat of the tree of life and live forever. Today on the broadcast, I want to take some time to explore one of the most serious, sober passages in all of Scripture. At the end of the 20th chapter of Revelation, and it's entitled The Great White Throne Judgment. This is perhaps the most frightening and serious passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. But before I get into what exactly takes place at the Great White Throne Judgment and why this is so serious and so alarming, I want to clear up again a little bit of confusion about at death, the unbeliever versus the believer. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and it was talking about what happens after we die. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus teaches that when the rich man died, he went to Hades, and Abraham, who was the poor beggar when he died, he went to Abraham's bosom. Now in Hades, which is this holding place, Jesus teaches that the rich man was in torment there. He cried out to Father Abraham, "Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in agony in this fire." And he said, "Warn my family about this place of torment." Now, it would be easy to assume that this is hell, the final destination, because of the imagery and because of dipping your finger in the cool water, I'm in torment. But Hades is simply a holding place after death. It is not the lake of fire. Hell is the lake of fire. The teaching here is illustrating two things, that all spirits, all unbelievers, are kept in this holding place to await the final resurrection and judgment. Hell is the lake of fire. That's the permanent final estate of the wicked. Now, I want to take some time this morning. I want us to listen carefully to the words of Revelation chapter 20. About the Great White Throne Judgment. I'm going to make some comments about it, and then we'll get into the actual teaching. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, John says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." I want us to think carefully about what we have just read together. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, is a graphic picture. This is man's last day in God's court. This day of judgment, the tribunal, this court, this trial will not be like the familiar trials held on earth. For those on trial this day will experience a very different kind of court. There will be no debate about guilt or innocence. There will be a prosecutor, but no defender. There will be an accuser, but no advocate. There will be an indictment, but no case for the charged. There will be a swift presentation of the convicting evidence, but no rebuttal, a testimony, with no cross-examination. There will be an utterly unsympathetic judge with no jury. There will be a sentence, but no appeal, a punishment with no parole, in a jail with no escape. The petty courts of earth fall far short of this one. And the location is very unique. This is at the time when the universe is being recreated, when there will be a new heavens and a new earth. So somewhere unknown to us, between heaven and earth, because the text doesn't say so, between the world as we know it now and the new heaven and the new earth, this judgment will take place. And it is the last courtroom that will ever convene throughout all eternity. After this, no one will ever be tried again, and God will never again act as judge. What about this great white throne? Some facts. Who? Everyone who has ever died without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior is present here. The dead, both small and great. What? Every person's life will be measured against God's perfect standard of holiness. When will this take place? After the millennial reign of Christ. Where? Well, we can't be sure, but it won't be in heaven, and it won't be on earth. And why do we have this great white throne? It's to settle all rebellion against God's righteousness. No believer will be at the great white throne judgment. That issue has been settled long ago. I want us to understand something very clearly here in Scripture. At the great white throne judgment, only the unbeliever will stand to give an account. The believers have already been justified by grace through faith in Christ alone. And we, as believers, have stood before Christ at the Bema seat. Why the Bema seat? Well, very clearly, this is a place after the rapture of the church where believers will stand before Christ to give an account of the life they lived after salvation. The Bema seat of Christ is not to determine the saved from the lost. It is a place where we are rewarded for our faithfulness of service, or we lose rewards because of unfaithfulness. Scripture is very clear here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master believer, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. The Bema seat is a reward for faithful service, according to how we have built on the foundation already laid. Have we built with the right attitudes and motives, with the right dignity? Is it built with gold, silver, precious stones, or did we not build with the proper motivation and focus, and it was wood, hay, and straw? Then the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment sorts the believers from the unbelievers. It is where the unbeliever goes who has never accepted Christ as his or her Lord and Savior. And again, it's a court proceeding unlike any. No jury, a very unsympathetic judge, no cross-examination, no appeal. That is your destiny. The Bible teaches it very, very clear. the lake of fire. Now, that we have sorted out the differences, I want to talk about this chapter in detail so that we understand the seriousness of it. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons, performed many miracles in your name? Have we not done all these things, Lord, Lord? And Jesus will look at them plainly and say, depart from me. I never knew you. That is, I never had a relationship with you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? These are the most frightening words we could ever possibly hear from those of us who have a false sense of security. And what it is that they are bringing to Christ on that day is they're making a list of what they have done. But salvation is not at all about what I have done. It's what Christ has done. We never come to Christ with a list of boasting. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many miracles in your name by your authority? It's possible to do those things because of the powerful person and name of Jesus. But it's also possible that those that do those things have never been known by him. They have a profession of faith, but not a possession of faith. And so Jesus will say, depart, I never knew you. John says here in verse 12, he saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and books were opened. This is very, very important. We want to examine that. There are two sets of books at the great white throne judgment. Psalm 69, verse 28 talks about the book of life. When the Lord opens the book of life and your name has been blotted out, you will not spend eternity with him. Your destiny is the lake of fire. These books talk about your deeds. Jesus records every single sin that all non-believers have committed and will judge them according to their works. The name blotted out of the book of life, Randy, I don't understand why. Well, let me explain. When you are born, your name is recorded there in the book. But if you never willingly receive Christ, then your name is blotted out. And this is the destiny of us. I want to talk to you about the conditions here at the great white throne judgment. Who is the judge? Jesus is the judge. John chapter 5:22, Jesus says, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. He is the just judge at the great white throne judgment. These books are opened. It's more than one book. The dead are judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Very important distinction I want to point out here. For the believer, the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared before the beginning of time. For the believer, Jesus has done all the work for him or her. When we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, already cleansed us from all guilt and shame. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus has already done for us through his death on the cross for our sins. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are trusting in him. Our works are vain. The Bible says all of our works are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. So we know that our good works can never commend us before a holy God. Our good works do not save anyone. The Bible says by grace through faith, not of works. But notice here at the Great White Throne Judgment, the dead are judged by what were written in the books, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Well, when you first look at that and you don't look at it in the proper context, you might come to the conclusion that really salvation is determined by our deeds. But no, remember the context. Remember what's going on here. We are at the Great White Throne Judgment. These are unbelievers who have never trusted in Christ. And because of that, God will judge them by the works they have done instead of the work that Jesus has done for them, because they never trusted him. And because our works are so inadequate that they cannot commend us before a holy God, that our works do not cause righteousness, because righteousness is a free gift, these unbelievers will be shown the futility of their works, and they will be judged solely on what they have done, because they never trusted in Christ and what he has done. And their works are inadequate. Every sin is in the book. When we come to Christ, he cleanses us from all of our sin. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, the book of Micah says. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed all of our transgressions from us. Our slate is wiped clean when we trust in Christ. But if we don't trust in him, the record of every wrong we have done will still be in the book. Every wrong motive, every wrong deed, every sin, every blight is still there, because the blood of Jesus has not cleansed that person. That person has not trusted in Christ. And so God is saying, I'm going to judge you by your own performance. And we will all fall short, because anyone who stands at the Great White Throne is not covered in the righteousness of Christ. They are not wearing the white garment of righteousness that the book of Revelation talks about. They are clothed in their own tattered garments of unrighteousness, and the books show every sin that could have been blotted out, that could have been washed in the blood of Christ, but they refuse to come to him. And so God says, here are the works. Here is a record of all of your sins. And it's such a serious, somber scene. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, he who has heard my word, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and does not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. What a glorious promise. Does not come in to the judgment. In their stubborn refusal to bow their knee to Christ, the wicked dead from all ages, from all history, from all time periods, the wicked dead, those that lived through the tribulation and died without accepting Christ, all of the unbelieving dead are standing before the throne to hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. The most frightening words out of the lips of Christ. No doubt there will be some there that believed they were true, sincere believers. that they had lived a good, righteous life. There will be many there that believe that I've been a good person. I didn't try to hurt or offend anyone. I wasn't a bank robber. I wasn't a rapist. I'm a good person. There are very many religious people at the great white throne who will believe that when they stand before the glorified Christ, the great judge of the universe, they will simply say, Lord, I did my very best. And that's so inadequate, because in their lifetime, they had an opportunity to respond to the gospel message. They had heard the truth. They were exposed to the truth, but they never possessed the truth. But these are the same people who believe that by showing up at a church service, or maybe praying a prayer, or simply being a good moral person, that certainly is something that God will take into account. And he does. And he says, you never received my son into your heart. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I am the promised Messiah. I am Yahweh. That's what that word means, that phrase means. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. This last year, the church has been challenged in how to have a service with the pandemic. So many of us, like myself, attended church online. And then after a few of the restrictions, we were able to go out and actually attend a service. But God, I think, has been shaking up his church with the urgency of this message to reach the lost. We reach the lost with the good news of the gospel. Why? Why do we work and work so hard to the point of sweat? It's because this is our great joy and passion to share the good news of Christ with the lost, with those that are not believers. And we do it with passion and love and respect to them. But nonetheless, the Bible says this is an urgent message that needs to be heard, that needs to be broadcast, because Jesus is the Lord of the universe. And so many of us have a false idea about what happens at death. The rich man in Hades, as I began to teach this morning, there was the rich man and Lazarus. He didn't feel he had done very many things wrong. But one day he woke up in Hades and was in torment. And now he wants to warn his family, but it's too late. He had an opportunity. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so here at the great white throne, verses 14 through 15, some of the most convicting verses in all the Bible. Judgment, after the wicked dead have received those horrifying words, it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Christianity is not a religion. It is a living, vital relationship with God. And we don't come to Christ for fire insurance. We don't come to Christ just so we don't show up here at the great white throne. We come to Christ because we know there is no other hope in this world but Jesus. We have reached the end of our existence, and we have looked in every other religious system in the world, and we have discovered that Jesus holds the words of eternal life, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. We've come to that point. And so Christianity is a love relationship. We've tried all the religions of the world. All of the religions say, do, do, do. Christianity says, done, paid in full. tistelestai. Jesus says, dying on the cross, it is finished. And when we put our trust and faith in Christ, we put our trust and faith in his finished work upon the cross. He bought us with the price of his life, of his blood. He gave his life in substitute for us. He died in our place. When we realize that we are the ones that should have been there being punished instead of him, when we realize that our sins commend us to a holy God and that we will stand before him in judgment, when we have come to the realization that there is nothing else that can save us but Christ, put our faith in him, and we will not be here at this time in history. This is the last time that God will act as a judge. This is the last trial in the universe. And it's a sober, serious trial. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The Bible calls it the second death, the lake of fire. Let me be very clear here. Eternal conscious torment. Last week I said that the Bible teaches that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, which is absolutely true. But we will go there if by a freedom of our choice we choose not to accept Christ. We don't believe. It is a place of conscious eternal torment. Luke 16 is not just a parable. It's a glimpse into eternity. This man in Hades, this rich man, was conscious, was alive. He was understanding his surroundings, and he was in torment. It's not a temporary holding place. Jesus says when he comes back that this will be a permanent place for the unjust. It's very, very clear. The words of Jesus are true. Lord, Lord, frightening. We want to make sure that we have a right relationship with him now. To as many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become sons of God. When we receive Christ, we receive eternal life. It is not a temporary thing. It is a permanent thing. We are sealed forever by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says nothing can separate us from God's love. We are in Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is a forever thing. It is not a temporary thing. You can't somehow undo the work of Christ and just simply walk away. The Bible says for those that walk away were never saved to begin with. They never had a personal relationship with Christ to begin with. So here at the White Throne Judgment, we don't have a single recorded word of those unbelievers and what they will say. But I believe that we have a hint of what they may say when you go to Matthew chapter 7. And you read them saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things? It is a frightening thing to have false security, to be living a life that is a lie, to be living a life where you sin frequently, where you do things your own way, and yet you still profess Christ. And the Bible makes it clear that when we're born again, that old man, that old nature has been put to death. And while we struggle with sin in this life, we don't enjoy and lavish ourselves in the practice of sin, because the Bible says if we do that, then we're not really saved to begin with. So let me ask you this morning, are you on the road? Are you on the right pathway? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? This passage of Scripture is frightening to me. I don't want to see any of the friends I have go there. I want you to know him. I want you to know him intimately and personally. I want you to be able to say with certainty that Jesus is my Lord and not be in doubt for a second that you belong to him. But the Bible says if you trust in your own works, then you will stand here before the great white throne, and God will judge you solely on the works that you did, and they will ultimately all fall short, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all do. But if you have trusted Christ, you won't be here. You will be with him in heaven. You will be there with the rest of the bride of Christ before the great tribulation period. This morning, we have taken a very graphic look at the great white throne judgment. And I want to take just a minute now to lavish this beautiful worship song on you about God's mercy. And if you don't know him, let this song speak to you. This is Matt Redman.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me, where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it has passed, your blood has hidden me. Mercy, mercy, as endless as the sea. I'll sing your hallelujah for all eternity. We will lift up the cup and the bread we will break, fallen from grace, but you took all our shame and nailed it to a cross. Mercy, mercy, as endless as the sea. I'll sing your all in.
What a beautiful song of worship from Matt Redman. Mercy, Hasid, is who God is. And yet we see here at the Great White Throne today, there is a point where that mercy, that grace, comes to an end. There is the final straw, as we say. God is rich and filled with mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And yet there will be those who will persist after God has held out his hand of mercy and grace, and they refused. God gave us that will to choose, and we refused. And we will answer for that choice. I don't want to see my friends at this time in the universe, this great white throne. And so today, if you have never received Christ into your heart, and you have listened very carefully to my words, but most importantly to the words of Jesus, I am praying that you will respond and that you will cry out for God's mercy. Because in this life, we have his mercy, his grace. We have this opportunity to say yes to him. But once that life ends, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. I'm praying that you will find his mercy today. I want to thank you so much for listening to my program today as we looked at the Great White Throne Judgment. I want you to have a good, safe weekend. God bless you. I'll see you Monday again on the cross in the desert.